What the Cluck, Episode 79. Six questions you need to ask before you get baby chicks this spring. Hi there and welcome to this episode of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Matt from Frugal Chicken, and in this episode, we are going to tackle six questions you need to ask before getting either baby chicks or hens. Now, whether or not you've ever had chickens in the past, maybe you currently have chickens and you want to add to your flock, or if you've never owned chickens before and this is going to be your first backyard flock experience, these are questions that are going to apply to you. Now, before we get started, this podcast is sponsored by Manapro Poultry, and I've partnered with Manapro because I believe that their products are the best on the market. Now, this episode is about what to ask yourself before getting baby chicks or hens, and that does include making sure that they have the best diet possible. Manapro has a full array of non-GMO organic chicken feeds, which includes both a chick starter, a grower crumble, and a layer feed. So when you go to get chicks this spring or hens, and you're not sure what to get them to make sure that they have a healthy diet, go ahead and grab a bag of Manapro's non-GMO organic chicken feeds, and you can be sure that your chickens are getting the best diet possible. You can go ahead and catch up with Manapro on their website at www.manapro.com. Now, before we get started, I also very quickly want to mention my book, Chickens Naturally Raising a Sustainable Flock. I normally mention it at the end of every episode. However, I know a lot of you guys don't always make it to the end of the episode, and because it is the beginning of chick days, chick season, I did want to mention it here. This is a great resource. I've sold thousands of copies of this. So if you want the go-to manual that thousands of people depend on, go to thefrugalchicken.com/chickenbook. So let's get on with our episode, which is six questions you need to ask yourself and your family before you go ahead and get either chicks or hens or add to your existing flock this spring. Now, I wanted to do an episode on this because I do get a lot of questions this time of year about how to prepare for baby chicks, and we've done a lot of episodes on that, so I'm not going to talk about that in this episode, but I do get a lot of people who are first-time chicken owners, and, you know, they don't always know what they're doing, right? And that's not meant to be pejorative, it just is sort of a statement of fact. They have a lot of questions, and we see that the same questions on the Facebook forums, on the website forums, and that sort of stuff. So I wanted to just take this episode to sort of go through the questions that you need to ask yourself before you consider getting chickens. Now, the first question here is actually extremely basic, but it's probably the most critical question you're going to ask yourself. And that question is, can you even have chickens at all? A lot of neighborhoods, a lot of towns have very strict rules about whether you can have poultry, which are also considered livestock in some towns. They have strict rules about whether or not you can have them in your backyard. They also have maybe rules about how many you can have, how they can be housed, whether they have to be in a coop, whether they have to be, you know, penned up all the time. So first ask yourself, can you have chickens? And if you can, what are sort of the restrictions with that? And every year, guys, you know, every year, there's always somebody who says, I'm not going to have my town tell me what to do. I'm going to try and sneak the chickens into my garage. I'm going to put them in a shed. It never works out, okay? You know, maybe your neighbors like you and they won't tattle on you, but all it takes is one argument and your cover is blown. And I can't tell you the amount of people every year who say, like, it's like hubris, right? They get sort of hubris about it and they say, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And then next thing they know, they come home and there's a sticker on their door that says, you got to get rid of the chickens or face a fine. And then they're stuck with kids that are sad because they're losing their pets. They are mad because they have to now find a home for the chickens. So just do yourself a favor and ask yourself first, are you even allowed to have chickens? Don't assume you are. Go and find out, okay? And I'm speaking from a certain level of experience here. I've never actually had chickens in areas where I'm not allowed to have them or allowed to have them on a farm, obviously. But I see it happen all the time. People say, well, I didn't even know I couldn't have them. Just go ask. It's that simple. And this is me being a little bit harsh about it, but I don't want you to get into a situation where you've acquired a bunch of chickens, you're happy, your kids are happy because they love their new pets, and next thing you know, you're going to have to get rid of them, okay? So just ask yourself that. Now, at the same time, let's say you're not allowed to have chickens, okay? look at the statute itself, okay? Because a lot of the times it will only cover chickens or livestock. It doesn't necessarily cover things specifically like quail or ducks or guineas. Guineas, you know, I probably would not recommend getting them as sort of like your first backyard flock, but, you know, a lot of the times it specifically says chickens. So in those cases, you have other options, which are ducks or quail, especially Coturnix quail. They tend to be kind of quieter than chickens in particular, but also kind of ducks can be kind of loud. But Coturnix quail can be kept in smaller spaces. They are not as loud, so that those are options. Something else to consider, though, is whether or not your neighbors are going to be into it. You know, a lot of the times people acquire these chickens not realizing how much they poop, and then, you know, the neighbors get all mad at them. So at the same time, you know, communicate with everybody around you if you are allowed to have them. So that's the first thing you really should be asking yourself. Now, the second thing you should be asking yourself is, do you have the room and do you have the time for chickens? And this is both for chicks and hens. Chicks, up until they're about 12 to 16 weeks old, they do require a little bit of your time. You're going to have to clean the brooder. You have to do that pretty much almost every day, especially as they grow older. They're going to need feed. They're going to need water. You're going to have to, you know, build that into your schedule during the day. Hens require a little bit less attention. You're still going to have to give them food and water. You're still going to have to clean their coop. But it's not quite so critical or labor intensive as it can be with chicks. With chicks, if they don't have a very clean brooder, you sort of run the risk of them getting dirty and then getting cold. It's not good. But with hens, because they're able to clean themselves a little bit better, there's not quite the same level of intensity, right? But ask yourself, do you have the room and do you have the time? And what I mean by the room is, you know, let's say you want 10 chickens, but you have a small backyard. Will your space you have allotted for your chickens be good enough for them, be big enough for them, right? So chickens, your grown hens, need, if they're going to be in a coop and a run all day long, they're going to need about 10 square feet per chicken, okay? If they're going to be allowed to free range, I don't necessarily recommend that if you have close neighbors, but if you are going to allow them to free range, then you can get away with 4 square feet per chicken in the coop and in the run, okay? That's if they're going to free range for at least 2 or 3 hours a day. So ask yourself, do you have the room? And if you have room, how much room do you have? So don't be the guy who goes out and gets 10 chickens and you have enough space only for 2 or 3. Okay, don't be that guy. Definitely make sure that you have enough room for them, given, you know, the space allotments I just mentioned. Now, something else to consider is whether your property is actually safe. So this is something that a lot of people don't take into consideration. Do your neighbors have dogs? Do they, any kind of dog, do they have dogs? Are the dogs going to try to attack your chickens? Or are you going to be able to provide your chickens with a safe space? Something else to consider are cats. Now, cats aren't necessarily going to go after adult chickens, but they will, you know, potentially go after chicks. And that's something that in our home we've been dealing with. We got these ducklings. We don't yet have chicks. We're waiting for the weather to be warmer for that. But we got a bunch of ducklings. We can't keep them in the house because we have 2 cats who do hunt. They hunt mice and they hunt bugs. And they might very well go after the ducklings. So, you know, ask yourself, are you able to provide them with a safe area that is, you know, not likely to get them eaten by a predator? And that does include the neighbor's dogs and the neighbor's cats. A lot of people don't think dogs will necessarily attack chickens. They will. They can. I'm not saying that they definitely will, but they can. And even the nicest dog in the world might decide to attack a chicken. Or, more importantly, or maybe more surprisingly, little dogs might go ahead and attack your chickens. Especially like young pullets. You know, maybe they're not quite adult size, but they're, you know, let's say 12 weeks old. They're fully feathered. They're outside. They're playing. Little dogs, you know, have the potential to also attack your chickens. So just ask yourself that. The other thing to consider are your kids. Okay. So are your kids too young to have, you know, to really be left alone around chickens? And, you know, I see the same things on the internet all the time on Facebook. People leave their kids alone with the chicks. And this has happened to us too, but luckily we're able to save the chicks. And the kids either fight over it and end up pulling the chick apart. Or what happened in our case was our son dumped it into water, dumped it into, we had chicks and ducklings in the same room together. My son took the chicken, dumped it into the duckling's water. So he was very, very little at the time. He was like 1 year old. But ask yourself, will the chicks be safe around your kids? If not, can you provide a safe place for them to live so that your kids can enjoy them, but also the chicks and the hens are safe? Okay. So that's not to say that kids will, you know, definitely go after them, but there can be misunderstandings about the how fragile chicks are. Okay. They might think that chicks can handle more than they can, and that can just turn into a bad situation for everybody. So just ask yourself that. Now, on a lighter note, the next question you should ask yourself is, do you have a plan for eggs? Now, if you're going to have, so the sort of the ideal amount of chickens is 2 chickens for every person in your home, okay? So chickens are going to basically lay, you know, between 4 and 6 eggs a week about. You're going to have some overachievers who give you 7, but in most cases, you're not going to get 7. So the sort of the standard, like, rule of thumb is that for every member of the household, have 2 chickens, okay? So that's a lot of eggs. If you have a 4-person household and you have 10 chickens, you're going to find yourself with a lot of eggs very, very quickly. So ask yourself if you have a plan for the eggs, and if not, you know, kind of come up with one, because you're going to end up with a lot of eggs and you're going to kind of go, what am I going to do with them? I don't recommend selling eggs. Let's just get that out in the open. A lot of people think that they can sell the eggs, and you're probably not going to make your money back, and it's not, the amount of money you're going to make is not going to be worth the effort it's going to take to sell these eggs. So I actually don't personally sell eggs. I've never sold eggs on our property, and I don't plan to. Because again, $5, let's say you have organic eggs and you somehow manage to find somebody to pay you $5 who's not going to complain about the price. Again, it's just the level of effort required to acquire that customer is not really worth it. And the other thing to consider about selling eggs is that in all states, you can't sell eggs. So in our state, we can if they come to the property. But in your state, it might actually be illegal to sell them. And in some cases, it's actually illegal to give them away. So just know your state laws with that. But again, for the sake of simplicity, come up with a plan that just covers you and your family, right? Now, you can give them away to neighbors. That is something that makes a lot of neighbors very happy. That is an option. You can also preserve them. There's a lot of ways to preserve them. On the blog, there's actually an article. I'll link to it in the show notes. You can preserve them in lime water. You also can preserve them by cracking them into like ice cube containers and freezing them. That's an option too. So there are a lot of different options there. You can try pickling them. I've never personally done that, but you can try that. Or you could also just come up with a bunch of really great egg recipes and just incorporate more eggs into your diet. So there's a lot of different options there, but just make sure that you have some sort of idea in your head of what you're going to do with all these eggs. So you're not suddenly inundated with them, and then you're kind of like, what am I going to do with all these eggs, right? It's not a bad problem to have, but it's something to think about. Now, another question to ask yourself is, can you handle noises and poop? Okay. So a lot of people don't think, you know, they don't stop to think that chickens poop, right? Chickens do poop, and they poop a lot. Okay. So you could very easily find yourself in a situation with a neighbor or with somebody else, maybe your husband like mine, who gets mad because the chickens poop everywhere. And then you might have neighbors that get mad because you have chickens clucking, and maybe you got a rooster. You got the sort of the luck of the draw, right? You got the rooster and it's crowing at 4 in the morning. Neighbors aren't happy about it. So just ask yourself, or maybe even like someone in your family's not happy about it. That happens to us a lot. Let me tell you, like, we'll have roosters that stand outside of our door and they'll crow at like 6 in the morning, right? And it's not fun. Like when they stand there and they start crowing, it's not fun. So just ask yourself if you can handle the noise and if you can handle the poop. Now, a really good recipe to get rid of chicken poop, this won't work on wood, but like a wood deck, for example, but it will work on like plastic furniture, is vinegar with lemon essential oil. So you take 8 ounces of white vinegar and you add about 4 drops of lemon essential oil and you'll shake the whole thing up and then apply it to a rag and then wipe everything down. That works very, very well to get rid of chicken poop. Not to get rid of it, but to, you know, clean it up, right? But definitely ask yourself if you can handle it and if you have a way to keep your chickens away from the neighbors so that they're not pooping on your neighbor's property, your neighbor's lawn furniture or their car, or whatever. That's a very quick way to make enemies out of your neighbors and lose your chickens. So just ask yourself that if that is something that you have a plan for and if you can personally handle dealing with it. Now, the fifth question to ask yourself, again, this is a lighter question, is what breeds do you want? And we've done a lot of episodes about different breeds that are good for backyard chicken owners, especially first-time owners. We've done an episode on chicken breeds that are good for children. But just ask yourself, decide before you even, before you even like go to the feed store and kind of fall in love with a breed, ask yourself if there's a particular breed you want, or kind of the corollary question is, what do you want your, like, what's the purpose of owning the chickens? Is it for fun? In which case, you're going to want to have very friendly breeds like Silkies. Is it for eggs? That if it's for the eggs, you're going to want to have a breed that lays consistently, like production reds. Or is it for meat? In which case, you're going to want to have a totally different breed of chicken, right? So just ask yourself, what breeds do you want and kind of why do you want the chickens? That's going to help you sort of narrow down the breeds. Now, one question I do get a lot, or I don't get a lot, but I get it with some sort of consistency, is what breeds get along? And the answer to that is basically kind of all chicken breeds get along. They're not really sort of, breed specific. They're not, so breed prejudiced, right? The issue is more like, do the individual personalities get along? So I don't really have an answer for that because there's no real, I've never really seen a situation where one breed doesn't get along with another breed. The thing to consider though is that game bird breeds tend to not get along. The roosters tend to be very aggressive. So just kind of consider that. But my guess is that if you're a first-time chicken owner, you're probably not looking at game bird breeds. You're looking more at like Rhode Island Reds, Delawares. So on our farm, what we decided this year is that we're going to get Brahmas. My husband saw that video. It's going viral right now of that huge Brahma chicken, the rooster. So he's decided he wants Brahmas because the males can get up to 12 pounds. So we're going to get some of those. And we're also going to get Jersey Giants. I've wanted Jersey Giants for a couple of years now because they're a really great heritage breed. They're an all-purpose breed in the sense that they lay both eggs very well, and they're also good for meat. The males also get up to about 13 pounds, and the hens can get to about 10 pounds. So like the Brahmas, they tend to be a big, big kind of breed, good for both meat and eggs. So we're going to try those out this season. I've owned Jersey Giants a couple times in the past, but I haven't owned them consistently for a few years now. So I think that that's a breed we're going to start incorporating into our homestead. I also might get some blue Copperians just because I like how they look, but those are the two breeds we're going to focus on this year in particular. So that's what the breeds that we're going to get. We did ask ourselves before we even went, we went to the feed store and we saw chickens, but instead of buying them there, we stepped back and we said, what breeds would serve our purposes the most this year? And those were the two breeds that we came up with, specifically because they're both for good meat and eggs. Now, the final question to ask yourself before you get chicks or hens this spring is, do you have a plan if they get injured? Okay. That is very likely to happen in some sort of way, shape, or form. They're probably going to get a cut on them. They may, require the services of a vet. There's a lot of different things that could happen. So just ask yourself before you even get them, what is your plan if they need some sort of medical help? Do you want to make sure you have a kit? You should always make sure you have some sort of first aid kit. So just ask yourself that. Look for a vet in your area who might be able to help you with the birds. It's kind of hard to find an avian vet, like a backyard chicken vet. In my area, they don't exist. Historically, people have not taking their chickens to vets around here, so the vets don't really service it. And a qualified avian vet is probably about 5 hours away. It wouldn't surprise me if you sort of didn't find an avian vet in your area, but at the same time, there might be vets who are willing to see chickens. You never know, a local vet might also own chickens and might be able to help service you if you need services in that area, right? But also just make sure that you have a plan for a first aid kit. Make sure you have a plan for a sick station, meaning some sort of crate or something you could put them in if they don't feel well. Make sure you have extra waterers and feeders, especially if it's a quarantine situation. Maybe somebody has come up with a respiratory infection. You definitely do not want to mix waterers and feeders in that case to try and reduce the spread of the disease, whatever the respiratory symptoms or respiratory issue they're having is. You want to make sure it doesn't spread. Just make sure you have a plan for that. My recommendation is to make sure you have a first aid kit, see if you have a vet in your area, and then again, have some sort of place to bring them if they get sick or if they get injured. You know, oftentimes when hens or roosters get some sort of cut on them, the other chickens will, you know, continue to try to peck at it. So in that case, you're going to have to isolate the chicken so that they can heal before representing them out to the flock. That's just something to take into consideration as well. So this is the end of our podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope it's given you some ideas of what to ask yourself and how to prepare yourself before you even begin to acquire chickens. Now, I did want to mention my book again. I mentioned it at the beginning of this episode, but I'm going to mention it here as well. My book, Chickens Naturally Raising a Sustainable Flock, it's about $10, and you can go ahead and grab that at thefrugalchicken.com/chickenbook. A lot of people have bought it, about 1,000 people have bought it, and it's their go-to source, and it covers everything you need to know about raising chickens. Thanks for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.